Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast. I am your host, Sherry and Sade. And today we are going to get into some topics that we've missed in our last episode because we recapped the Scoop film on Netflix, which is the film adaptation of Prince Andrew's catastrophic Newsnight interview in 2019, where he answered hard-hitting questions regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And we missed a lot because we recapped that. And I hope you guys enjoyed it because that was a really good film. But we missed a lot, so today we got to play some catch up. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been thriving in their independence for several years now, and as their fans, we've been basking in the glow of their success, and this week is no different. Prince Harry appeared at Better Up Uplift 2024. He's also taking part in a polo fundraiser in Florida today. As you know, I live in Miami, so I would have loved to have gone to that, but I didn't know about it until today. That's okay. I hope they are very successful in their fundraiser. And both the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced new projects through their production company, Archwell Productions. Of course, the higher they soar, the lower the others on Shutter Island plummet. While Prince William is alleged to be considering working out of the spotlight in a work-from-home royal position, I am not joking with you. That is how it's being promoted. The jokes write themselves. He simultaneously had time to take his son to a sporting event, along with Lord Oliver Cholmondeley. Does that name ring a bell? That's because Rose Hanbury, his alleged mistress, is the Marchioness of Cholmondeley. This is her son. Think about that. Now, we are fully aware that they are fully aware of the rumors because Rose Hanbury has since come out and denied currently being Prince William's mistress. What we don't know is if she was ever his mistress. We don't have any details on their history. We only know what she spoke to in the present tense. But I find it to be interesting, knowing that they know about the rumors and knowing how far they've reached, they weren't more concerned about the optics. Mind you, Lord Oliver was also on the balcony standing right next to Prince William. He was actually standing between Prince George and Prince William on the balcony at King Charles's coronation. And now he's sitting next to Prince William and Prince George at an outing. Actually, their first outing since Kate announced her diagnosis. They're not that concerned about optics, and I think this is a message. Keep in mind, the royals do not do anything that is not with intent. So they were aware of what we would think, and I personally just think this is a soft launch of a blended family. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying how it feels. It feels like a soft launch of a blended family. So we've got all that and more, so let's get into it. Once again, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate you guys for supporting the podcast. And I've gotten some great feedback. Thanks to everyone who left a rating and a review. I've gotten 26 ratings and 4 reviews on Apple. So thank you. I'm at 4.8 out of 5. I said, ew, we are doing it. So I am having a very, very casual Friday, y'all. I'm in a tank top. I threw on a necklace, but this is my workout bun. I'm going makeup free today. And we're going to relax and just chat. This is really a kitchen table talk, but I've been working out really hard and I'm just crashing, y'all. I'm crashing. So anyway, let's actually get into some good news first. Let's start off with good news, which is about Prince Harry and his attendance at Better Up at the Uplift program. Oh, I hate that view. Okay, there we go. Patreon, I didn't want y'all to see that ugly view. There we go. That's a much better layout. So this is Prince Harry participating. He was actually leading this discussion, and I'm actually going to recap that for you guys on Patreon as well, and that'll be coming next week. Today, Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, and Chief Impact Officer of BetterUp hosted an insightful conversation with CHROs at BetterUp Uplift Summit in San Francisco. He was joined by organizational psychologist and BetterUp's chairman of the Center for Purpose and Performance, Dr. Adam Grant, and Cisco's chief people officer, Kelly Jones. This year's summit, which centered on courageous leadership, provides a unique forum for C-suite leaders, business executives, and HR professionals and advocates. The session, Beyond Burnout, Transforming C-Level Stress into Strength, examines how C-level leaders manage the unique pressure of their roles, build resilience, and foster a culture that supports sustainable performance. The trio dove into the psychological toll of leading through uncertainty, sharing personal anecdotes, evidence-based practices, and forward-thinking policies aimed at helping leaders thrive amidst the pressures of today's world and modern corporate life. I think that sounds amazing. Now, I did watch the panel. It was excellent. Everybody had such great things to say, but that's kind of the norm with these BetterUp uplifts. That's why I like them every year. I like to watch them every year. But what I will say is I am so jealous of everyone who gets to attend in person. One of these years, I'm going to go and attend in person. I get so much out of them virtually that I can only imagine what the energy is like in the room. And I hope to share in that one day. I really do. Things have just been so busy lately, and I hope to really break away at some point and really share in that. So if you watched the panel, I know many of you work, but if you watch the panel, let me know what you thought about it. I got a lot out of it. I made a lot of notes. I'm trying to avoid sharing too much here because I don't want to negate the recap that I'm giving to Patreon members. That's a paid platform, so I always try to save certain things for them. So I'm going to be recapping that there, but I got so much out of this. These discussions have evolved so much too. So I feel like every year they find ways to dust out corners that often get missed, especially in supporting professionals. So for example, the fact that they're focusing on in this panel, again, I'm trying not to share too much, the fact that they're focusing on the unique stressors of C-level leadership, that's important because a lot of times people who are not in C-level, the view is the higher up you go, the more organized it's going to be, the more you have to worry about big eye or bird's eye level problems. But the day-to-day hustle and bustle isn't on your desk. And so you can kind of relax as you make decisions and it's a little bit more organized and a little bit more collaborative and less stressful. And that is just not it. The higher up you go, usually the more people you have to support. And delegation achieves a lot. Training achieves a lot. As a matter of fact, I find it to be way easier to delegate when I dedicate a lot of time during the onboarding process into training adequately. The better I train a person and the more I put into training, the more comfortable I am with delegation. And that says a lot about how everything can just fall back on you as a team leader. But the higher up you go, that pressure doesn't really go away. You find different ways to manage it. But what I love about BetterUp is that they manage to find these very unique parts or aspects of professional life and really hone in on them. They shine a light on things that you might not even realize is a stressor for you. Or you might get into the thinking that I did when I was in corporate, which was, oh, I'm sure this is just a me thing. And it's not. And it really does help to work through a lot of that when you have a panel discussion or you can see a group conversation of other people with their perspectives going through the same thing. Losing the isolation of that type of thinking is half of the problem when you realize it isn't just you and it's not a you thing and it's not a personal private problem or, you know, you're not cut out for the role. Those small thoughts of, oh, I got to get better at being more organized. Look at how everyone else is organized. Kind of like that comparison is the thief of joy. When you get into those small thoughts of thinking, this issue is a me thing, maybe I'm not cut out for it, that can actually erode your confidence. And over time, you will lose a lot of your zest, a lot of your moxie, your confidence. And a confident employee, a confident team leader, a confident owner, or whatever you are, a confident professional is a hardworking professional. Actually, when I train trainers, one of the things that I say consistently, training is all about building confidence. And the more you build in knowledge, the more you should be building in their confidence. So being encouraging, finding ways to give them feedback that isn't eroding their self-esteem. Because as soon as they hit the floor, they got to believe in themselves. And that's how you build, good leaders build other leaders. And when I was in corporate, that was a big area of focus for me. And I find that BetterUp really supports unique needs that you might not even realize you have. I just find their platform to be astounding, and I just love everything they do. They not only support professionals at all levels, but they also support military, active duty and retired, reserve, what have you. They support all aspects of the military as well. It is a job. I just find their platform to be amazing. And every year I'm always astounded by the growth that they've had. One of the things that I also love about BetterUp is the fact that you can tell that these conversations that they're having, they're not content-driven conversations. They're conversations that are shared. And those are two different things. So sometimes these panels from other groups, and I won't name anybody, I don't want to cut anybody down, but sometimes these groups can curate panels just for the content, but nobody's really trying to apply and adapt and change and grow. And what I love about BetterUp is you can see the growth in the types of services that they provide, how that is consistently evolving. You can see the growth in how these conversations and these powwows and these think tank sessions, how they're developing the platform itself. And the more BetterUp the platform develops and grows and evolves, the more services and assistance they can provide to the professionals that they support. So I'm always astounded by their business model, but also what they provide for people. I can say I have utilized a number of their services and I find them to be incredible. Even as a content creator, it's a job. I've learned a lot with my coach. I have a coach and I never really talk about it because in one way I'm using a service where a high level executive is the person that I built my content around following. And so I decided to separate the two. But one of the things that my BetterUp coach has really helped me with is really honing in on my stress. Sometimes I can pull stress from the future, which is basically worrying. I can anticipate every turnout of something. So for example, when I was pulling in my my podcast, when I was trying to create my podcast, one of the things I was worried about was like, oh, I want to make it as easy as possible for people who know me on YouTube to find me here. I don't want them to have to go and download this app and download this and click this link. And I was like, simplification is all I want to provide them. And I don't want them to hear this podcast until it's right. And I was actually going to give it a few months until I could buy a whole new setup of mics and cameras. And I had it all in my mind. And my coach was like, well, I'm sure they would appreciate that, but that's not what you're doing it for. They want to listen to your voice on these topics. So don't take away the voice because you're worried about perfection. And she really did help me to gain perspective. But I'm also working in the philanthropy space behind the scenes, and that didn't stop. So even though I transitioned my platform for content creation, my work behind the scenes didn't change. So the demand was still there. And I was like, I feel like by the end of the day, when it's time to brainstorm and build a new platform, I'm all tapped out because I've been working on the right side of my brain all day. And now it's time to work on the left side of my brain. And the way that she helped me compartmentalize and execute and really trust myself, I can't say enough good things. So anyway, BetterUp has a lot to offer. And the fact that Prince Harry is the chief impact officer makes perfect sense. This definitely aligns with his platform and what he continues to stand by, which is what he's giving the world, trying to make the world a better place. And without, I don't know if this is his intention, but it's definitely the result is they're completely changing the face of corporate life in America. And we definitely needed that facelift. We still need it. I want more companies to bring in human-led processes and procedures and human-focused processes and procedures. And the more companies that sign up with BetterUp and utilize some of their services, the more we are going to see not only companies thrive and operate better, but the people who work the machine and who push the machine will have better work-life balance. So anyway, kudos. I don't want to go on a little tangent. I just really appreciate BetterUp for what they're doing. A lot of the things that they address are things that I have literally been beating my head against a wall as a professional and yelling into the void saying for years. And it seems like, you know what I love about them? I think the reprieve for me is that finally someone heard us. Because in corporate, it seems like it should be easy. You find a problem, you recommend a set of solutions, you use one, and the problem goes away. And it could all be so simple, but you would be surprised how many gatekeepers exist in the corporate world and how they love the "this is how we've always done it" model. I mean, when I tell you I had to kick down doors in an e-commerce company to develop when it comes to our technology, to use better technology at an e-commerce company, which you would think they would be progressive, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised. So I said all that to say, BetterUp is like someone finally held a mic to the issues that we have been trying to get noticed, and even some that we didn't realize we had. So kudos to BetterUp and everyone on that team. Y'all are doing amazing things. But did you guys watch the BetterUp Uplift event, virtually or in person? Y'all let me know. I'm excited to hear what you thought. So for our next topic, Prince Harry will actually be in Florida today. Y'all know I live in Miami, so I'm in Florida. But he'll be in Florida today in a polo match fundraising for Cinta Bali. This article was written for Yahoo News, and it was written by Tony Jones, PA court correspondent. The Duke of Sussex will take part in a fundraising polo match for his African-based charity supporting young people living with HIV. Harry will play in Florida later, captaining one of three teams in the Royal Salute Polo Challenge staged in aid of Cinta Bali with his good friend and Argentinian polo player Nacho Figueres leading another side. Now, first of all, if you follow me on YouTube, we've done our fair share of talking about Mr. Nacho, all thanks to the queen of all things Nacho, Church Nelly. Now, Church Nelly, I don't know if you transitioned over to listen to my podcast or my Patreon, but I do hope you hear this. And your man's playing in polo match today, girl. I know you feeling good with your moonshine. But as soon as I saw his name, I was like, oh, I hope somebody told Church Nelly. The sport of polo will be the subject of a new Netflix series, which will have the Duke and his wife, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, acting as executive producers. The show will be made by, oh, you know what? We are going to get into that. So let's skip down. Figueres is an ambassador for Cinta Bali, founded by the Duke and Lesotho's Prince Seeso in 2006 to help the most vulnerable children and young people in Southern Africa, especially those with HIV, receive support to lead healthy and productive lives. It first began working in Lesotho before expanding its efforts into Botswana and operates in four key areas, strengthening the social and emotional well-being of those living with or affected by HIV, helping to provide access to health and social services, driving youth advocacy, and building individual skills and livelihoods. The fundraising event will be staged at a polo club near Miami. See, I could have went to this. I wish I had known about it before. Oh my God. Near Miami, with Harry leading the Royal Salute Cinta Bali team against the Grand Champions team, captained by Figueres, and the third group will be the Maseru team. Harry stages the Cinta Bali Polo Cup every year in aid of his charity, and polo events have raised more than £11.4 million for its work. The match in Florida is an additional fundraising event to the cup and is likely to attract a number of celebrity supporters. That is fantastic. They do not stop working. The Sussexes stay busy. They are always working, working, working. It's good to see it. I'm so disappointed that I did not get to go to this. Oh my gosh, I would have loved to attend this, but as soon as we get the results of the match, I will certainly let you know here. Do any of my listeners or subscribers, are y'all in South Florida at all? You don't have to tell me where you are, but are y'all going to go to this? Let me know if you got to attend this in person. Just know I'm jealous of you, but also tell me how it went. Good for you, Prince Harry, and great for Cinta Bali. So I'm sure you heard that I skipped past part of that article because it was getting into the topic that is next on our docket. And that is that we are getting two new projects from Archwell Productions. Oh, I am so excited, y'all. I cannot wait. Okay, so let's get into the projects. Archwell Productions is pleased to share that two new nonfiction series are in production at Netflix as part of its multi-year overall deal. One series, curated by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, and in partnership with the Intellectual Property Corporation, a part of Sony Pictures Television, will celebrate the joys of cooking and gardening, entertaining, and friendship. Wow. The other shot primarily at the U.S. Open Polo Championship in Wellington, Florida, at the USPA National Polo Center, and in partnership with Boardwalk Pictures, will provide viewers with unprecedented access to the world of professional polo. What? Oh, wow. I don't know anything about polo, so that's probably going to be really good. Known primarily for its aesthetic and social scene, the series will pull the curtain back on the grit and passion of the sport, capturing players and all it takes to compete at the highest level. Both shows are in various stages of production, and their titles and release dates will be announced in the coming months. Archwell Productions, founded in 2020 by Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Archwell Productions is dedicated to illuminating thought-provoking and diverse narratives that underscore our common humanity and celebrate community through scripted and non-scripted TV, film documentaries, and podcasting. Archwell Productions has released 3 nonfiction series, including Heart of Invictus, Harry and Meghan, and Live to Lead. Harry and Meghan debuted on Netflix with a total of 81.55 million hours watched in its first week, making it the highest viewing time of any documentary to debut on the streaming service in its premiere week. That's insane. About Intellectual Property Corporation. The Intellectual Property Corporation, IPC, a part of Sony Pictures Television, is an Emmy-winning content creation and production studio based in Van Nuys, California. Founded in 2016 by Eli Holzman and Aaron Sedman, IPC develops and produces premium television, film, documentary, commercial, and interactive mobile content for global streamers and U.S. broadcast and cable networks. Recent productions include Indian Matchmaking and Night Stalker on Netflix. What? Okay, I've seen both of those. Indian Matchmaker was really good, but Night Stalker scared the bejesus out of me. That was a good one. Secrets of Playboy, Selena and Chef, Max and Food Network, and The Climb on Max. We're Here and The Swamp, Death in the Dorms. Oh, and they just released the Death in the Dorms 2 on Hulu. The D'Amelio Show and Rap Caviar presents The Last Narc, Empires of New York, and The Con. IPC is a 2-time Emmy Award recipient and a Producers Guild Award recipient for its series, Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath on A&E. And lastly, about Boardwalk Pictures. Boardwalk Pictures is an award-winning production company that creates nonfiction character-driven entertainment for audiences across the globe. As creators and producers of some of today's most recognizable premium television shows and feature films, Boardwalk Pictures continues to push the boundaries of unscripted entertainment. So that's incredible. I cannot wait to see these shows. Both of them sound really good. And I wonder if Meghan's show has anything to do with American Riviera Orchard. I'm curious. Okay, so what do y'all think about that? Let me know what you think about both of these productions or these projects in the comment section below. Like, what are your thoughts? What do you anticipate? What are you looking forward to? What do you hope they will include? Let me know. I love the brainstorming process because we usually are all wrong, but because they don't give us a lot of details, which I love because it leaves us the element of surprise, which I actually really do enjoy. Okay, y'all, it's time to get into the mess. I told you we had to go here. Prince William and Prince George cheer on Aston Villa in first outing since Kate's cancer announcement. And this is on CNN World, written by Lauren Sid Morehouse and Max Foster. Now, the photo they're choosing to use, as well as several other outlets, are a photo that are angled in such a way that you can only see onlookers who we don't know, but Prince William here and Prince George, right? Well, I'm going to tell you why that's not exactly accurate. Let's continue. Prince William and Prince George were spotted watching their soccer team Aston Villa together on Thursday evening, their first sighting since the Princess of Wales's cancer diagnosis. In a quintessentially British father-son bonding moment, interesting you guys would say that, father-son bonding moment, but continue. The 41-year-old heir to the British throne cheered the side on along with his 10-year-old, sporting a Villa-branded scarf at the Villa Park Stadium in Birmingham. The future kings will have been in high spirits after 90 minutes, given the club's 2-1 win over top-flight French side, Lille or Lille in the first leg of the European Conference League quarterfinal. Now, see, these details aren't exactly the things that we need. So I'm going to, again, show you here. Prince William, who couldn't make his own Godfather's memorial a couple weeks ago, but he's been at every fun thing since. He was at the pub. Now he's at the soccer game, but he couldn't make his Godfather's memorial, nor could he sit next to his wife during one of the most catastrophic revelations of her life, if not the most. He couldn't stand there. He'd been out here compositing photos and going to pubs and soccer games. But it's interesting. In the second photo, you have William here. You don't really see George. I think his head is down. But do you see who's here over here, you guys? Do you see who that is? That is Lord Oliver. Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley's son. You know, the same Lord Oliver who was on the balcony with Prince William and Prince George during the coronation. Catherine revealed, and we don't have to go through that. We've talked about Kate more than our fair share. I mean, we've talked about them so much. It's just not even fun. Okay. I want to show you something. I wasn't the first to notice that Lord Oliver was next to George. Mind you, Prince William has two sons with his wife, Kate Middleton, Prince Louis and Prince George. Now, Louis has shown that he struggles in big public functions before a number of times, at one point actually abusing Kate in the face. So maybe that's why he didn't go. And I find it interesting that CNN said father-son bonding moment because of the allegations about William and Rose having an affair. But I want to share what I found on Twitter. Now, this is from SK Rimmer, and that's at Rims FK. RIMMES, F is in Frank, K is in Kate. Glad the other lady's son was there too. Beautiful family outing. And this person highlighted Prince George right here with the scarf, but who's also there with the scarf. And right next to George and William is Lord Oliver. Rose Hanbury's child was at the father-son bonding event. And the comments look about how you anticipated them to. Look at the comments, y'all. Okay. Vanilla Brown said, you're going to be with her. You can't take your kids out. Stepchildren too. Oh my God. He's the royal expert says, oh my God, he's not trying to hide it. Ralston Milton Nettleford said, I hope you know there was never anything to apologize for. The play on their part is if they could make a major US media outlet walk back a joke about what everyone knows, then they would silence other voices. Very true. Someone else named Royal Olive said, okay, I guess they're doing this out loud. Happy National Siblings Day. And here's the thing. Yesterday was National Siblings Day in America. I don't know about over there, but it was National Siblings Day here in America. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm sure they didn't know that. Someone else says, I continue to be concerned Kate is missing, but whatever is happening, friends are good and children, adults, everyone needs breaks from whatever stress is happening. That is true. One of the people that I follow who I absolutely adore is Carmen's granddaughter at Carmen Granddaughter One. And she just put whew and a Jada photo, a GIF saying, that's interesting. And that was my exact reaction. I said, oh, they aren't trying to hide it, are they? Huh. There was a lot of comments, but anyway. And so there was conversation that maybe that isn't Lord Oliver. So let me just say this too. I haven't confirmed, but people are saying this is actually Lord Oliver, not this young man. And this young man is the one who was at the outing. So that has yet to be confirmed one way or the other. I do find it interesting though. That this little boy, who might just be a best friend of Prince George, was there as well and is alleged to be Lord Oliver Cholmondeley. I don't know. I don't really get into the kids, but that has been contested. But I'm interested to know what y'all think. Y'all let me know. I'm curious. And lastly, in what is the non-shock of the century, Prince William is finding new ways to get out of work. For somebody who has been nicknamed Work Shy Willie, you would think that he would tread lightly and want to go above and beyond to prove that he is a hardworking man. You would think that that would be the goal, is to be like, I work harder than anybody. Now, last week we did talk about, or no, earlier this week we talked about Queen Elizabeth's patronages. I think 118 of them have, only 118 of them have been claimed. And then there's still 600 left that have not been taken care of since our passing. And I just find that to be insane. With all those family members, they could absolutely pass around the work. So I'm going to be reading this article that states Prince William plans a return to duties as a work from home royal. Y'all, what the hell? I can't even, anyway, let's read the article. And then they put family man. Tom Sykes, shady as hell. All right. They are always reading him. Prince William is planning a return to full-time royal duties beginning next week, combining digital work from home, digital appearances, and in-person engagements to maximize impact in what sources said would be a template and a dry run for his future reign. Does that sound productive? Like, maybe I'm missing something. That just doesn't sound productive to me. William, who had not been seen or heard from in over 3 weeks since before his wife, Kate Middleton, announced she had been diagnosed with cancer, returned to public visibility on Wednesday with a social media post paying tribute to a leading female soccer player retiring from England's national team. It was a carefully calibrated dip of the toe back into public life, and ongoing digital engagement of this kind is understood to be a key plank of his strategy for combining the unexpected intensification of his role, of his royal role, occasioned by his father's illness, with being a family man, bringing a kind of work from home approach to the business of royalty, as one friend put it. Whoever that friend was, tell them don't speak again, because that was the most confusing sentence I've ever had to read. It was just a bunch of garbled mess that just at the end of the day meant William don't want to work no more. He won't work no more. That's it. He don't want to do it anymore. And it's clear that he doesn't want to. We just saw articles coming out that he and Kate, allegedly Kate, because y'all, nobody's seen her since Christmas. He and Kate are still concerned about having to take the throne sooner than they anticipated. So anyway, why is taking the throne so daunting? They don't really do a whole lot. Anyway, William has spent the last 3 weeks of school holidays at his country home on the Sandringham estate with his family, time which will also have helped him prepare himself for what another source termed a dry run at being king much sooner than he might have imagined, referring to the fact that his father, King Charles III, has been forced to step back from public-facing royal duties due to his own cancer treatment, leaving William as the highest-profile member of the family still actively working. He is thought to have appreciated his time out of the spotlight and was reportedly spotted earlier this week enjoying a pint in a local pub with his mother-in-law, Carol Middleton, confirming rumors that Kate's family are rallying round to help the princess as she recovers from cancer. I haven't seen any photos of William and Carol Middleton on their outing. That's why I didn't even read that article, and it hasn't been a topic. I haven't seen any photos. So if you guys have seen some photos, please tag me and one or two of them on social media and on Twitter, possibly, so I can see them. But I don't know how true that is. I'm just going to be real. I don't know how true that is. Charles is thought to have spent several days in Scotland for his wedding anniversary. And although he has also been largely off the radar, with the exception of an Easter Day appearance, it is not thought father and son met over the Easter holidays. So wait a minute. Easter was just a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago. Why wasn't Prince William at Easter? But he could go to a football game or a soccer. What game was it? He could go to a game. Why didn't he just go to Easter? It's one day. Anyway, Charles has left little doubt over his admiration for Kate. However, with aides briefing the Daily Beast that he is proud of the way she decided to address her illness publicly. That's a nice way of them putting it now, but they really do anticipate. They try to play on our ability to forget things, because at the time when both Kate and Prince Charles were in the hospital, it felt like Charles and Camilla were intentionally making note of the aloofness and the secrecy that was happening around Kate at the time. The statements that they put out were in direct contradiction to the way that Kate was handling being out of the spotlight at that time. And so I find it to be interesting that now there's all this praise when at the time of those surgeries, when we really didn't know what was going on either with either of them, Charles was very clear to put out a statement about his cancer diagnosis. He was seen going into and leaving the hospital. Camilla was seen visiting him. And they made it a point to acknowledge, like, we are sharing this transparently to avoid speculation. Meanwhile, Kate, that's when the speculation really began and amplified, especially after reading that statement. So I find it to be interesting that they're like, we appreciate the way she handled it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because you were clearly poking at the fact that they weren't being so transparent in the beginning of it all. I find that to be interesting. There's always a, it feels like they aren't in the same group. And I know that they are all governed by like their own micro teams, but they are part of a bigger organization. They need to work on their communication. They really do suck. While Kensington Palace declined to comment on what exactly William's plans for the next few weeks are and did not respond to questions about whether William would be doing more work online, his office previously briefed journalists that he could expect to be seen back in public once again, once the school term recommenced on Wednesday next week. Oh, recommenced. I said recommended. See, that's why you don't speak. Recommenced on Wednesday next week. The Daily Beast understands that this is still the plan, and he will be making a series of in-person public appearances over the next weeks. A friend of the couple told the Daily Beast, in many ways, the next few weeks and months will be a template for his future reign because he will have similar personnel available after he succeeds to the throne, even if that doesn't happen for many years. I think you'll see him try and balance the demands of state with the demands of being a good family man, taking care of his sick wife and making sure his kids are doing okay. I'm sure that will mean doing more stuff online. He can work from home and do hybrid working a bit. Frankly, it has more impact because it reaches many more people. Another source, a former royal courtier, told the Daily Beast, William and Kate had hoped to have several decades as Prince and Princess of Wales, and God willing, they will still get them. But what is interesting about the next few months is that William is being forced into a dry run at being king much sooner than he might have imagined such a thing would come to pass. Of course, he doesn't welcome it, but there will certainly be some fascinating straws in the wind about what the reign of King Billy would look like. Ew, I hope that's not his title. That's an ugly title. One thing that seems certain when talking to friends and advisors of William, both recently and over the past few years, is that he has no intention of emulating his grandmother's model of doing several hundred engagements a year and being patron of hundreds and hundreds of charities. Instead, the goal will be to represent less causes, but have more impact, to use a favorite term. I think the best thing anybody still in that family can do is emulate Queen Elizabeth in some way, shape, or form, because they couldn't be less like her. Like, from her dedication to her respect for the role, to her dedication to the role, but most importantly, and I think the most glaringly, is her level of hard work. They just cannot do it. They refuse. They can. They refuse to do it. Indeed, William himself said as much in uncompromising comments made to print journalists accompanying him on a trip to Singapore in November for the Earthshot Prize, which aims to develop technological solutions to the climate crisis. I wonder what they've rolled out with that since then. Have they actually made any advancements? I'm curious. William praised his family for highlighting lots of causes, but said in an explicit rejection of the former royal habit of taking on hundreds of charities, William said, you have to remain focused. If you spread yourself too thin, you just can't manage it and you won't deliver the impact or the change that you really want to happen. That's actually not true. You just have to work hard. Citing his own involvement in the homeless sector, he said his goal was to be involved deeper and longer as opposed to just having loads of causes that you sort of turn up and keep an eye on. So pause. He wants to be involved in the homeless sector deeper and longer, but he also wants to end homelessness in 5 years. And we are already 1 year down in that 5-year goal. And he's only got about 24 homes to boot. Let's continue. But be in no doubt, if the last few weeks have shown anything, it is that the needs of Kate and the kids will always, for William, trump the demands of state and charitable organizations. So basically, his home life is going to trump being a statesperson. Like, at this point, just throw the whole monarchy away. He wants to retire and be a family man, and nobody can blame him for that. But why are you keeping up with the charade? Like, if you don't want to be king, just say that. And I feel like in no uncertain terms, that's what he's saying. Again, Queen Elizabeth had to balance this out. But at no point has anyone ever doubted her dedication. William hasn't even gotten the top job yet, and he's already finding ways to not do it. Throw the whole monarchy away. Apparently, there was some sort of, I don't want to say premonition. There was some sort of prediction that William would be the last king and he would be chased out of the country. Listen, stranger things have happened, but if that happened, I would be cracking up. Don't take your ass to Montecito, though. Don't bring those troubles to their doorstep. They're doing just fine without y'all. Be in no doubt, if the last few weeks have shown anything, it is that the needs of Kate and the kids will always, for William, trump the demands of state and charitable organizations. Kate is doing well, her team says, but if a conflict arises, William will likely have little hesitation in canceling royal engagements to focus on family. As Duncan Larcombe, royal commentator and former royal editor of British tabloid The Sun, told the Daily Beast, William has made it pretty clear that if push comes to shove, he will prioritize his wife and kids over royal duties. He is torn at the moment because he obviously has responsibilities to his family, but also to his work as a royal. Doing more stuff online is clearly one way of balancing those demands. And so I just want to point out something too. We have spoken at length about how William treats Kate in public. He snatches away from her often. He rushes her when she's talking to royalty. He is very impatient with her. He glares at her. He makes snark comments and gestures towards her. They both recoil when they touch each other a lot. They poke the booty. They have a very odd public relationship. And if she is to be prioritized over his work as a king, which is just crazy to hear, if that is how he plans to handle being a king, y'all are done for. Because if she's the priority and he treats her that way, can you imagine how he's going to treat y'all as his subjects? It sounds like a failure waiting to happen. I don't know why they're even delaying it. Just get rid of the whole monarchy. And if Republic has anything to say about it, that will happen sooner rather than later. So now it is time for me to read some questions that have come through on SherryandSade.com, my website. And on page 3 of SherryandSade.com, there's a message box. So I'm breaking down some of those questions that I've gotten and I just haven't gotten back to. And I'm going to answer them here publicly. So the first question is from Deidre. Hey, Deidre, thank you for watching and listening. Deidre says, have you heard about the comments Kate's uncle made about Harry on Big Brother? Yes, I did hear about those. And I saw some of the transcripts, but I don't watch Big Brother anymore. Celebrity Big Brother, UK Big Brother, or US Big Brother. I don't have the energy for that show anymore. I used to love it, but after a while it got to be too much. But anyway, yeah, I did hear some of the comments. And that man has a lot more to be worried about than William or Meghan. I mean, than Harry or Meghan. He needs to be more worried about his niece and whether or not she's alive. And so that's why I don't put a lot of stock into their side B characters, the Carol, the Michael, the uncle, Pippa. It's hard enough for me to talk about William and Kate. And that's a task for me. I just can't get into talking about their extras. We know full well now that they deploy friends and all kinds of people to do their evil bidding. And this is no different, in my opinion. I think personally, Kate wanted her uncle to share those things, because at this point, she's been in the royal family way too long for the rest of her extended family to not know how to handle it. So the fact that he's still doing that, let him be stupid. As a matter of fact, no one took him seriously. And he ended up getting himself and Kate a ton of bad press right before her cancer revelation. So it backfired. And I hope it continues to. The next question is from Sasha R. And it says, Christopher Boozy has continued to deep dive into the fake cake conspiracy. I like him, but he needs to drop it at this point. It's gotten old. Was that supposed to be left on my website? I'm a big supporter of Christopher Boozy. I think the work that he does is incredible. And it's very much needed. Sasha, no shade to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I'm not sure if you meant to leave this on my website. So I don't know, but no shade or insult to you. You have a right to your opinion and I'm not trying to insult you, but the British tabloids and the derangers depend heavily on people becoming exhausted with fighting back. And I commend Christopher Boozy and his incredible work in the technology space and the fact that he outs these coordinated campaigns of hate towards Harry and Meghan and even outs these conspiracies. And I don't at this point think it's a conspiracy. I actually think using the term conspiracy is very unfair to the work that he's done. He's used actual technology to debunk the myth that is Kate in several of those appearances. And the fact that we know it is on record that he's telling the truth, even with the photo, we know that it was a composite. And then the photo she took of the Queen came out to be false, which we already knew and we had already discussed years ago or a year ago. So they caught up to that. And then the video, Getty Images put an editor's note on the video. They can't confirm it. And then the BBC refuses freedom of information request. They refuse to respond to a freedom of information request about where the video came from of Kate sharing her diagnosis. So every single thing that Kensington Palace has put out this year has been false or has been challenged. So I don't think it's a conspiracy at this point. And the fact that Christopher Boozy, an esteemed person in the technology space, a very well-respected, very hardworking person with an invaluable program and access to things that most people really don't have access to. And he used his access and his technologies to give us truth, and people are becoming exhausted with it. It is a little frustrating because it's like, do you want to be lied to? Listen, if you want to be lied to, fine. My suggestion is when you are tired of hearing about a certain topic, whether that's coming from me, from you, from Christopher Boozy, from Omen Scobie, when you are tired of hearing about any one subject, tune out. There are days where I just don't have the capacity to chase down some of these topics. I don't have the commentary. I'm in a bad state, or I'm in a great state, or I'm in a great mood and I don't want to talk about it. There are days where I'm at capacity. What I don't do is say, hey, Omid, I'm tired of you talking about, like, that's not my place to do. I don't go over to Christopher Boozy and say, hey, I know that your life's work has resulted in so much good, but could you not today? I'd appreciate if you didn't. I'm tired. I always say the best way to curate your experience is to take ownership of your experience, which means if you don't want to hear something, you tune out. You don't ask that something to stop, you tune out. There was once when I worked at a sprinkler company in Dallas, there was one time where I was telling this story and we were talking about The Conjuring and one of the previews had scared me. And I found out when I was watching that preview, I was like, oh my God, sleepwalking people make me so uncomfortable. And then at the time, and my husband now, but he was my boyfriend at the time, was like, you actually sleepwalk. And I was telling them like, you know, that's actually creepy. And I wonder if me sleepwalking is subconsciously my way of hating that I do that and I'm repulsed by it when other people do it because it scares me. And so as I'm talking to one of my coworkers about it, another coworker was like, oh, that's so creepy. Could you stop talking about that? And I was like, are you talking to me? And she was like, yeah, that's so scary. Could you not talk about The Conjuring? And I said, well, maybe this is a good time for you to have a bathroom break or go get water or do something else. But the only person who can control what you hear is you. But I'm going to finish what I'm saying. And she hated me for a year after that. Like, she was always so mad at me. But again, that's just a small example of only you have the power to control your environment. And so take control. Instead of trying to control other people, control yourself. So if you don't like hearing you know, hearing about the developments that Christopher Boozy is making or deep diving, then please, by all means, Sasha, don't listen to it. Just tune out, unfollow, and then get your updates once a week. That's kind of what I do. Sometimes celebrity and pop culture updates can kind of get annoying. And I tune out from topics that I enjoy a lot. I tune out and then I revisit when I have the capacity. So that just sounds like more of an issue of maybe taking a little bit of ownership for your own experience. And then the last question for today is Just Real Six says, do you really think Kate is alive? I don't have any evidence that she's not, but I also have even less evidence that she is. That's the best way I can put that. I have no evidence that she's not alive, but I have even less evidence that she is alive. And so I guess it's just a waiting game. I don't even know how to feel about that because of what we know about her. It is really hard for me to wish someone well who wished bad on others. That is just one of those things that's like, am I the bigger person? But I think that implies that if you don't wish someone bad well, then that makes you a bad person. And I don't think that makes you a bad person at all. Some things are just what they are. You don't have to be on one side or the other, but I just choose to be on the side of right. And if you intentionally went out of your way to bully and harass somebody, you can kiss my ass. You're not getting a well wish out of me. And I don't think she needs one. I don't think she wants one. It might be too late for one. Who knows? Now, before we get out of here, I wanted to take a second to thank the people who have rated the podcast. Let me actually share my screen, y'all. Let's see. So this is on the Apple Podcast Connect. They got a little schedule maintenance. It's skipping that. But look, y'all, out of 28 ratings, we are rated 4.8 out of 5. Woo! Now, wait a minute. What hating ass health up gave me 1 star? I made it. You know, every piece of content, no matter how great or how bad, gets bad ratings. But I'll say this, if they'll hate on Cowboy Carter, they'll hate on me. So I'm in good company. All right. So the first comment is from JXJXJX08. And they said, witty, delightful, and captivating podcast. Oh, thank you. They said, listening to Sharian's podcast is always an absolute delight. Oh, her in-depth analysis and captivating discussions about Prince Harry and Meghan's journey have kept me hooked episode after episode. Oh my God. Thank you, JX. Sharian brings a refreshing perspective to the table backed by thorough research and genuine passion for the topic. What sets this podcast apart is Sharian's ability to connect with the audience, making listeners feel... making listeners feel like part of a community united by a shared interest. Damn, that is really sweet. Thank you. Whether you're a diehard royal fan or simply curious about the Sussexes, this podcast is a must listen. Thank you, Sharian, for entertaining and enlightening us with each episode. I am extremely grateful you were able to quickly find another platform after the fiasco with YouTube. I was really worried that I might not have the opportunity to listen to you again. JX, I want to send you a personal thank you card. So if you want to message me on SharianShade.com with your name and wherever you want me to send that to, please do. And I want to send you a thank you card. Thank you so much. That is so sweet. The next one is from Jella Speaks. Hey, Jella, thank you for listening. Jella Speaks, weren't you on my YouTube? I feel like your name is so familiar to me. Jella Speaks gave me 5 out of 5 as well. And Jella says, Sharian, continue to speak the truth. As always, it's great hearing your point of view. Used to watch you on YouTube on my TV, and your thoughts are in alignment with mine. And don't let anyone dim your light. I have seen a lot of YouTube shenanigans with other channels, and I'm glad you know that you don't have to put up with that mess. I feel your passion and frustration listening to you here on Apple Podcasts. Keep on being a vessel in lighting up the shadows, kicking down the walls, and tearing down the lies. May Jehovah God bless and keep you in his loving, tender, caring arms. Thank you so much, Jella Speaks. That is so sweet. Thank you so much. Oh, y'all don't, let me not. Y'all know I'm quick to bust a tear. Let me stop. So the next one is from Ytown939, who gave me 4 out of 5 stars. Now, Ytown, why? Why, Ytown, did you give me 4? Come get my Starbucks, Whitetown. No, I'm just kidding. Whitetown says, podcast suits you. Sharian, I'm so happy I don't have to go on YouTube to enjoy your conversations. Welcome with a heart. Ew. See, I got 4 stars, but I also got a heart. So technically, this is 6 stars. Apple, update my rating. Thank you so much, Whitetown. The next one is from Trina's mom. Hi, Trina's mom. Gave me 5 out of 5 and said, Sharian Sade, so glad I was able to locate your podcast. Love your unfiltered truth regarding mistreatment of the Sussex family. Your light is needed as so many avenues only focus on lies and negativity towards the Sussexes. Thank you so much, Trina's mama. Thank you. Thank you so much. That means so much to me. And that is true. I don't understand why these platforms do that. I have come across several myself where the whole goal is to tear down Harry and Meghan. And I'm like, what do you even get out of that? Like, it's people who aren't even being paid to do it. Like, first of all, being paid to do that is still some terrible thing. That's terrible. That shows you have no integrity. You're a piece of crap. And that's going to come back to you. Listen, I'm settled in knowing that everything you put out comes home. Everything, life is a boomerang. What you throw out there will find its way back home. So whatever you put out there is going to show up on your doorstep. I hope y'all are ready. Matter of fact, I hope you're not. This is from WVal35, gave me 5 out of 5. Hey, WVal, thank you. Says, great podcast. Glad you are here on Apple. I will be listening. Thank you so much. And the last one is from DBC7. Hi, DBC7, gave me 5 out of 5. Thank you. And said, so happy Sharian is on Apple Podcasts. She's very informative and entertaining. Highly recommended. Dang. Thank y'all. Look, my head getting big. Instead of my head, it's going to be my bun. My bun is going to get bigger and bigger. Thank y'all so much. That is so sweet. I really appreciate that. It really means the world to me to hear that y'all are enjoying the podcast and, it's easy for you to find and it's accessible. That's the goal. We do have a live stream coming up on April 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time here in America at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We are having our first podcast live stream and the link is in the description box below. Again, that is April 22nd. It's a Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. You will be able to call in. You will be able to chat and I will be able to respond to you in real time. And we're going to take part of that episode and dedicate it to Princess Diana. Y'all know I love Princess Di. But we're also going to be talking about some of the amazing work from Harry and Meghan. So I cannot wait to have our first little podcast live stream. That's amazing. So that is all I have for y'all today. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and Patreon. You will be getting the video version of this tomorrow. Thank y'all so much for the support. And thank you to Harry and Meghan, who continue to work hard in spite of all these odds. They are continuously serving as an inspiration to me. And I love that they are continuing to help people in under-resourced and underprivileged areas with all of their amazing efforts. It's wonderful to see. And for those of you who are trying to knock them off a peg, I hope you realize that your efforts to demonize and vilify them are really efforts to undercut and undervalue the work that they do to help millions of people around the world. And I hope you know that's part of your legacy. Mm-hmm. Your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids will know that, oh, my great, great, great grandpa was a hater. They were trying to hurt Harry and Meghan. But let me just say this. The truth will always outlive a lie. And that's why I love that Harry and Meghan serves y'all nothing. They don't respond to anything you send. They don't respond to the lies and they don't respond to the bullshit because y'all were quick to say Netflix is about to drop Harry and Meghan and Netflix no longer wants to work with Harry and Meghan. And look at you now, stuck. New productions coming out the woodworks. And Netflix told y'all that, but y'all just don't want to listen to truth because that's how y'all do. Anyway, that's all I have for y'all today. Thank you so much for watching and I will see you next time. Bye. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Sherry and Sade podcast.